This is Will.
This is Alex.
Welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come At It.
Welcome back, everyone. You know the drill. Go to your web zones, YouTube, Facebook. Yes, we are on Facebook, that dinosaur of a fucking social media app.
Instagram.
X.
Wherever you get
threads. All that good stuff.
Content.
YouTube's our main source, so if you want to go there and support it, like, comment, subscribe, share. All that good stuff. Really helps out the podcast. Now for some housekeeping. We have finally nailed down a live stream date. Mark your calendars. It's going to be April 21st. Six hours or however much we can stomach.
Now you may ask, what is a live stream?
We haven't done one in a while. So for all you newbies here.
A live stream is when we play horrible games. And yeah.
We try and get through them as best as we can. But
yeah.
Listen, if they're broken or anything happens, it's not our fault.
We play through bad action or horror games. And, you know, if you want to comment, it'll be on YouTube, whatever. Yeah. Do what you want.
We'll set a I'll set it up where it'll remind you for, like, people who want to, you know, tune in to all that stuff.
But even if you don't tune in, it'll always be on
YouTube. Yes, we do save them. We don't delete them or anything. Technical difficulties and all that
whatever
is all
happens.
On there. Whatever happens, it's on there. We play for 6 hours or until we lose our fucking minds.
Or less if we just can't. And literally can't handle it.
Yeah, if we can't handle it, then we turn it off. But, you know. But we go for 6 hours, as many games as we can play in that amount of time.
So it'll be the 21st of April.
Yes, 21st of April. Mark your calendars. We are back at it. Please join us, hang out, come ask questions, do all that cool stuff. While one of us is playing, one of us is going to be checking the chat. So
or just
It's going to be a good time.
It's more so that one of us is playing while the other one unwinds from playing.
Gets a break, a reprieve. We also torture each other because we both make each other play the game.
Well, we both switch on.
It's not like one person plays the game and that's it, right?
No, we both have
Have to play the game. We both have to see how terrible it is.
We both have to experience the game.
I like live streams a lot, and I'm glad we're doing one again because it's a good chance for us to hang out with people. It's a good chance to like just chill with our fans and just hang out. We'll be in the chat the whole day. We'll be figuring it all out. We take a quick lunch break, but that's about it.
Plus, it's just an opportunity for us to kind of just spitball about movies, books, whatever.
It's like a chill vibe, right?
Yeah.
It's not a review. We're just hanging out.
Yeah,
so
we're not
please
there
we're not there to like critique anything.
Not there to brainwash you. Don't worry about it.
You just watch us play terrible games and hang out. It's chill. The vibe is chill.
Yeah.
So please come hang out with us on April 21st. And thank you to all our subscribers on YouTube. We're getting some new ones, so thank you
so
much.
This is why we're doing it, because one of you people suggested that we do this again.
Yes.
So we will. And then our next episode, so we are going to finish 86.
Apologies in advance. We're changing up the formula just a little bit.
Just for this one.
Just for one, okay? There's a reason.
Because we want to finish 86. So our next episode, we will finish out 86. And then one of you lucky people, you know who you are getting your request for episode 246, I believe.
Because we do requests every 5 episodes if you're new.
Hold on.
This is a little bit different. We're going to do it for the 6th episode because we want to get through 86 quick.
It'll be, episode 256 will be the request.
So that will be the request. We will get to everything, and then we're back to regularly scheduled programming. We'll get back to every 5 episodes. We will do a recommend. We just want to get through 86 real quick before we have to torture ourselves with 87.
And end on a high note.
Yes. I think that's all the housekeeping.
That's the business.
Let's get into the GOAT. We watched Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives, Mother... Fucking yes. I
He's
love
back.
This god
the man
damn
behind the mask
movie. Yeah, if you can imagine us, we're like with like full Alice Cooper makeup.
Listen, this is going to be a rambler, clearly.
There's no shot that we can do it as like a sequential thing. It's such a simple plot.
We're just going to talk about what we love.
I love pretty much everything about this movie.
I love everything about this movie. Yeah.
Like, first and foremost, I think it's a good... It's such a good departure from... Because, I mean, if you're a franchise head, if you love the franchise, you know up until this point, everything is so serious, right?
Mostly, yeah.
For the most part. I mean, there's some ridiculous scenes in those movies, obviously, but the tone is always very serious, right? Yeah. It's very just slasher. He's going around killing people. It's very serious. The tone is very mature. And then you get this movie... And it breaks so hard into, like, not, like, cartoon levels of absurdity, but it very much does not go into that realm of we're going to be super serious.
Yeah.
You kind of get whiplash, because if you are watching this in a marathon and you just came off of the fifth movie, which is, like, the Asylum movie where... with the chocolate bar and all that weird shit going on. And like, they're trying to like set up Jason as like a new killer and all this kind of stuff.
This is what you would call a course correction.
It's like that meme with the car, like veering like really hard into the fucking, the turn.
Exit, yeah.
It's like back to Jason. It didn't work. Back to Jason.
And it works.
Which is funny because the character from 5 is in this movie.
Yeah, but it's slightly different.
He slightly different actor too, but
because in that one, 5 almost sets him up as the next killer.
Yeah, because that's what they were trying to do, and everyone was like, "What the fuck is this?
And then why are you doing this?" Like,
and they're like, "Okay, course correction. We're going back to Jason. He lives.
He's Jason's back because this is what we wanted." And
it just takes a turn into like just slight absurdity. I would say it's on the comedic level, almost. Like, it's not like a comedy, but they don't take it so seriously. They let themselves have a little fun with this one, which is what I love about it.
There's a lot of fun in this.
If you ask a lot of franchise heads, they'll tell you that this is one of their favorites because it's so good. It just captures everything you need in the Friday the 13th movie without being so serious that you're just, like, empty at the end.
Yeah, because my favorites are 4 and this one, and 4 is definitely the kind of movie that is, you know, there's not a lot of real humor. There's some humor, but it is much more serious, dour, and dark. And then...
Well, this one really brings the levity. There's, like, a lot of stuff to really just keep you entertained and like having fun instead of watching a slasher movie where a bunch of people
where everyone gets murdered.
In this movie everyone dies. It's the same formula, just a little bit more like levitated. But there's levity,
there's more fun to it.
Yeah, there's more of a comedic edge to it
instead of just like being dark. Yeah.
Which I love. It's one of my favorites. I know there are some haters of this movie.
Everyone's got their opinions.
Where they're just like, hey, I didn't like the tone. That's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. I don't agree with that opinion, but you're entitled to it.
I don't agree with it either.
You're entitled to your own opinion. I will move on, though, because we're going to gush about this movie. So if you don't like this movie and you don't want to hear us do that, just turn it off right now. We won't be mad.
You know what you're getting.
We love this movie, though, and we want to talk about it. So... I love the resurrection scene. It is so ridiculous and so insane. And if you think about it for like 2 seconds, none of it really makes that much sense.
Sure it does.
Within the confines of the movie, yeah. Sure. But in reality, hell no.
Well, it's a movie about
he basically gets Frankenstein to life.
It's a movie about an undead zombie killer from the bottom of the lake. I mean, it's kind of been out the window.
Yeah, so I mean, okay, so in these ramblers, we usually set up the plot. It's basically... I know. So here's the plot. This is so easy. This dude, so our main Tommy...
The guy who killed... Tommy Jarvis, who kills...
He kills Jason in number 4.
Part 4.
They kind of ignore five because, you know, they
didn't... Other than him going to an asylum.
Yes.
Because he's so fucked up. Because
at the beginning,
he
is with one of his asylum mates.
Yes.
Like, he's with someone from the asylum.
Like, they've been released.
So, it kind of retcons it because, obviously, they didn't go with him as the killer.
The whole psycho killer rampage.
Yeah, and so, basically, it starts with him. They're going to the graveyard, and they're going to destroy Jason's body.
Because he's... still haunted by nightmares, he's still haunted by everything that happened, and he just wants to destroy the body.
Yeah, he just wants to ruin the body, light it on fire. Yeah.
Cremate.
Fire, burn it, do whatever he can to completely eviscerate Jason from the planet.
Uh-huh.
He needs to burn in hell for what he's done.
Yeah.
And so, they go to his gravestone, they dig it up. They find a maggot-infested zombie corpse of Jason,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, okay, time to fucking kill this guy.
Yeah, he rips a...
Well, so what's weird is he was going to just burn it, but he gets pissed off,
mm-hmm.
but just by the sheer looking at Jason.
Well, yeah, he has a flashback in his head to the ending of part four.
Yeah, so he grabs a giant rod...
From the gate. From the gate. Cemetery. He just rips it off.
And stabs Jason, and then he's, like, gonna go get the gasoline, and he, like, he doesn't get the gasoline yet. So he's gonna go get the gasoline, and just as he's going to get the gasoline, a giant bolt of lightning strikes the rod, and Jason gets resurrected by this lightning.
Yes.
So the plot, this is the plot. Jason gets... resurrected by lightning, like Frankenstein.
Yes.
Goes on a murderous rampage and has to be stopped. That's the entire plot.
Yes.
It's Friday the 13th. You know what you're in store for.
It's a camp.
There's
camp counselors. Camp
Forest Green because they're trying to rebrand.
Because they want to rebrand after the
Because they don't want to be labeled...
Four movies. Yeah.
Well, they don't want to be labeled Camp Blood anymore.
Yeah.
So,
you know, they want everyone to forget what happened.
Yeah. And so he's like trying to light Jason on fire, but it starts raining.
Yes.
And so his like
immediately when he lights the match.
Because he throws gasoline all over Jason and then he tries to light a match and throw it on him. But that goes out the fucking window. And so he runs away.
After Jason punches a hole through his friend.
Not only punches a hole through his friend, but grabs his heart as he's doing it. So as you see his like beating heart.
Jason and then his friend
just dies, obviously.
Topples into the
grave,
into the grave.
And the lid closes on him.
Yep. Which comes into play later.
Yes.
Yeah, and then he runs away, and Jason grabs the fucking rod that resurrected him.
Okay, this is the... I don't know who thought of this. This is one of the craziest ways to open a fucking slasher movie I've ever seen, and it gets me every time.
It's incredible.
I'm never prepared for it, because when it, like, zooms in on Jason's eye, and it goes into, like,
a James Bond gun barrel,
yeah. like, thing, and he comes, he, like, walks from the side, and then he faces the camera and slashes, and then it says, Jason Lives, Friday the 13th, Part 6.
And then we get the credits. Whoever
thought of that?
Things.
That's incredible. They knew what they were doing. That's fan service-y as fuck.
Well, that's one of those things that when I first saw this movie and I saw that intro, I just knew, okay, I love this. Like, this is not going to be bad.
Well, you also immediately get the idea that, okay, this is not going to be quite the same tone as the other Friday the 13th movies. This is a far different tone than those movies.
It's very different.
Which is not a bad thing. I actually like it. It is very... It's like a breath of fresh air. It's a little nice reprieve.
Plus, even though it is funny, it still has plenty of spooks.
Spooks? I think it's...
Plenty of, like...
Some really scary scenes with, like, the kids, especially, like, him lurking in the windows and
shit.
Some
pretty solid, like, jump scares.
You
still have blood.
I also really love... I mean, again, it's a rambler, so we're going all over the place. I really love how horrific the aftermath of, like, seeing the counselors, like quarters. Because they go into the room, and it's, like, fucking blood everywhere. And you can tell, like, Jason really takes these people, like, completely apart and, like, just fucking throws blood everywhere and doesn't care about anything.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
He's a resurrected zombie. Of course he wouldn't care, but...
They already, like...
But I like how he just, like, meticulously, like, splatters blood everywhere. Because it's such a cool... Like, when they go into the fucking counselor's, like, quarters and it's just fucking red everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
That was pretty horrific. I mean, it's like... You can, like, kind of, like, your imagination puts together what the fuck happened in there. And let's talk... Can we talk about the paintball scene? It's beautiful. It's like one of my favorite parts of the entire movie.
There's, like, a bunch of insurance salesmen.
I love how was it blue collar? No, white collar.
Yeah.
White collar, all these guys, like, guys are.
Well, one of them is just, like... He just wants to eat. He's just, like, bored. He's like, listen, I'm hungry. And the other one's like, this is your problem. You can't make a sale, and you can't fight war. And he's like,
well, it's like if
this isn't war.
It's like if the corporate guys from, like, Office, that movie Office Space, were doing, like, a what do they call it? Like, an employee...
retreat or something? I don't even know.
It's like one of those, like, things where
team building.
That's what I was thinking. Like a team building exercise for the most boring office workers you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yeah. Some of whom who take it way too
seriously. One guy in particular that is hilarious, and we've been watching lots of movies about these kind of dudes, so it's been pretty hilarious.
It's pretty fitting. Time is a flat circle. Because basically both of these dudes get shot. And they get shot by a woman.
Well, and you know what they're doing already, because they get shot by a woman and she's already killed, like, everyone else, and she's, like, the only survivor.
Other than one guy who's, like, trying to be, like, Solid Snake, but he's just, like, failing the whole time.
Well, because he's, like, Solid Snake meets, like...
tries to hide behind a branch and the branch, like, falls off.
He's, like, Solid Snake meets, like, Dwight Schrute.
Yeah.
It's
like trying to run around and trips on everything. She shoots both of them. And they're like, did she already get, like, whatever his name is? He never loses.
Yeah, he never dies.
And then it cuts to him, like, walking around with a machete, like, angrily.
He's like, goddamn women.
I told them this is men only.
Well, and I love how they make a point to say that the woman in the paintball exercise is like she's like a CEO.
Yeah.
She's like a higher up.
Okay, so they're like, why is she here? She's like, because, like, I'm an executive.
Yeah.
And it's for the whole company. There's no way not going to be here.
She's a higher up for the fucking company. And he's all pissed off. He's like, hey, women should just stay in the kitchen. And he's just, like, this misogynistic and asshole.
He's got, like, the, like, face paint. Like, he's, like, fucking commando on.
Well, he's, like, taking it way too seriously. Yeah. And I love out of all of this, because, like, you know, it doesn't, like, point it out, but you can just see the dead.
So whenever they get hit with the paintballs, they have to wear, like, a bandana that just says dead, dead, dead all around.
And so without any introduction, he's just wearing one already.
Yeah.
So you know he already got sniped by the woman.
He's gone. Yeah.
That's why he's so pissed. And I love it because he's, like, chopping his way through with his machete. And then Jason pops out of nowhere, grabs his arm, and just yeets him fucking across the forest.
And he smashes face first into a tree, and his head moves away, and you see, like, an imprint
like
where his face was,
and
a smiley face. And then Jason's holding his arm with the machete.
I love how quizzically Jason looks at the arm. Just like,
there's several scenes like that.
Oh shit, I didn't know I was that strong.
No, there's several scenes like that with Jason where he just, like, kills somebody, just kind of like,
Okay.
Because there's that part where he, like, you know, stabs the woman in the head and she's in, like, a puddle. And then he looks and there's just, like, bubbles.
Well, yeah, that was the first death of the...
He just kind
of
stands there like,
Yeah. As her American Express card, like, floats.
With the money floats away.
Because she tried to offer him money. Like,
I got you.
You see zombie Jason, you're like, take it all, take everything. And it's like, yeah, Jason has no need for your money.
Well, that scene is also good, like, it just kind of also sets the tone.
Well, because it's our introductory kill.
After the credits.
Well, after, like, the heart ripper, right?
But, 'cause, yeah, it's just this it's these, like, camp counselors.
It's like the head counselors.
They're driving through the woods and they're lost and they can't find it because their map is like outdated to the new name for the camp. So they're just like lost. And of course, the guy's like, well, why don't we just get out and just stop the car and just scream for help? And she slams on the brakes and he's just like, listen, it was a joke. He's like, no, we got problems. And they look at his Jason.
Well, and I love how she's like, I've seen enough horror movies to know that when you meet a guy with a mask in the woods, that's not a good sign.
And they try driving back and there's like a big ditch where their car gets stuck and they're like, okay. The guy tells her, just drive at him.
Just gun it at him. He's going to move out of the way.
Trust me, we'll scare him.
We'll scare him.
And then she does. She stops right in front of him. Nothing.
I mean, something, because he then proceeds to fucking...
Well, yeah, he pops their tire. He pops
their tire, and she's like, we're going to go reverse out of this woods.
And he's like, and I got this.
He's like, I got this. Pulls out the world's... smallest little tiny, like, three-shot pea shooter.
It goes there and threatens Jason and then shoots him. No effect. Jason takes him, stabs him, and just throws him.
Just, like, just fucking tosses him away. Tosses him over his shoulder.
Like, nothing. And then, you know, breaks the window of the car. And then that's when she offers him the money and he just stabs her.
So back to the paintball thing, when he like triple shots the fucking...
Well, they hear like a branch.
They're all together because she's like leading them out of the woods. The
like sad little boys.
Yeah, he's just like, come on, let's go get some food. And Jason shows up.
He jumps
with a machete
out of the tree.
Just faces off with all three of them, and they're all like in like triangle formation. He just swipes his machete, and all three of their heads pop off.
And then you see like this great shot of three headless bodies dropping, and then immediately is the last survivor. He just like stands there horrified, and then just shoots at Jason with his paintball, and Jason just like looks like...
I just like, he just looks down like, what the... are you fucking for real?
And then he's like, oh shit. Takes off running.
And he dies. How does...
we don't see him die.
Oh, that's right. He's off screen.
Yeah.
But he still dies. I mean, obviously he still dies. Obviously. But and then you get like the whole like introduction of our counselors. You get the kids coming to the camp. Finally, a Friday the 13th movie that has fucking kids at the summer camp.
Because every other one...
I think up until this point, we have seen zero... I mean, there's kids in the movies, but there's never kids at the camp.
Yeah, every other one, they're like... it's like summer vacation.
Because even Tommy, like, in the fourth one, was a kid. I mean, like...
there's no camp counselors in four.
Yeah, well, I know.
You didn't notice it, but your brain did. Yeah, there's no camp counselors. Yeah. It's just... there's kids having a party in one house, and Tommy just happens to live... at the house that's like across the way.
Right, yeah, exactly. But I mean, so that's like a kid, but this is like actual like camp kids at the...
there for camp for the season. Yeah,
finally.
It's there. At Camp Crystal Lake, aka Camp Forest Green.
Forest Green, which is the lamest fucking
happy. Wholesome.
Forest Green.
Wholesome.
Just call it Camp Blood. Like all the people in the meta, like in the story.
There's even at the end of the movie when they're at the lake, there's the sign at the bottom of the lake.
Yeah.
Which has Crystal Lake crossed out and someone writes blood on there.
Yeah, I mean, they even try and play a board game that's like Camp Blood.
Because everyone knows the lore.
Yeah. And so... they all come and everything. We kind of get an introduction to all of them. We don't really need to go too much into them.
Just watch the movie.
We'll just go into just like the death scenes, because there's fucking the RV death scene, for instance. The buildup is so hilarious because it's our only sex scene in the entire movie. Mm-hmm. Also, sorry to disappoint anyone who is interested in this. I don't know why this would be like your main source for watching slashers, but no boobas.
Odd.
No nudity in this one.
Odd.
It's one of the only ones that does not have nudity.
I think it is the only one.
Because after this, they show more nudity. I mean, there's more nudity in the next ones.
I'm pretty sure this is the only one.
There's a lot of nudity in Jason X, Jason 10.
Oh, honey.
There's a lot. But
we'll get there.
Jason goes to
space. Yeah, no nudity. So if you're into that, I don't know why you would be into watching slasher movies for the nudity, but there is no nudity.
You'd have to find your plot somewhere else.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
So they're having sex, but they're clothed. I love they're listening to like a long song or something. Because it comes into play.
She's
timing it. He can't climax until the song ends. And she's like, don't worry, it's only 10 more minutes. And his face.
Well, he's like in ecstasy.
You could tell he's like almost there, right?
He's like in ecstasy and he's like, ah, babe, I'm almost there. And she's like, not yet.
Not until the song is over. And he's like,
how much longer? She's like, it's only 10 minutes.
And his face just.
The look on his face is like, oh.
He's
fuck.
Like utter sheer terror. And so it almost looks like the face of like people before they get killed by Jason. Like, oh, fuck.
Well, even like the way they cut to this scene, because they're like asking like where they are and. He's like, oh, you know, he said he was going to go explore things that go bump in the night, and it just hard cuts to the RV, like,
we should talk about the shaking. Transitions, too, before we get into this death scene. The transitions are fucking amazing.
There's like, one with the, it's like the grave keeper, and he's, like, drinking, and he just says, like, what do they think I am? Some kind of fart head? Because they're talking about Jason coming back.
And then it cuts to, yes! Yeah. The kids all saying yes.
They're doing like an inspirational thing. Like, are you excited to like, you know, cook food in the wild? Yes. You excited for archery? Yes.
And then it also cuts to, I can't remember what was the hard cut to the kids saying this is lame or whatever when he's like doing the rocks.
Oh.
They transition that one. Because
they're too. Like asking like, oh, what's so-and-so doing? Oh, well, he's teaching him some, you know, some of his idea of Boy Scouts. Then it hard cuts to, like, the kids, like, all, like, in a circle staring down. They're gonna be like, this is dumb.
Yeah, the one kid. I love how the dead meat kid, because at a certain point, he's like, we're dead meat. And then at a certain point, he even hears, like, one of the counselors screaming. He's like, real dead meat.
So what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh God, the way they use comedy is so good in this movie because it's not like I said it's not cartoonish,
mm-hmm.
but it is like very well timed.
Well timed. It's like it's got just enough self awareness.
I do like what the gravekeeper says.
Oh yeah, why would anybody dig up Jason? And then he just like looks at the camera. To the audience, some people got a sick sense of humor.
Yeah.
Because that's us. That's what we did. We dug up Jason.
We are them. Also, your favorite joke when they're showing all the kids asleep and it's
oh
like,
my God.
It's going over.
It's not even like
there's
such a
box.
Weird joke for a movie like this.
And one of the kids.
Because someone knew, you know, someone was like, only some people will get it. Because you know, some people are going to watch this scene and be like,
they're like, what the fuck is that?
Well, because it's like, it's showing all these kids falling asleep, and each one has like a
different comfort item,
like right. A teddy bear.
Yeah,
different things, right? It's just like different things that they love. Like someone has like a comic book, you know,
mm-hmm.
like a Creepshow comic book or something. Someone has like an action figure, and then there's just like a kid sleeping, and he has No Exit by John Paul Sartre. And if you know. If you've ever taken a philosophy class in college, you know who this person is and why this joke is so great.
Well, it's like hard. It's a hardcore philosophy book, if I'm not wrong, right?
Yeah.
Like, no kid should even understand what is going on in that book, basically.
Yes.
That's why it's funny.
That's why it's great.
It's so good.
It's just like, I don't know, it's just so comical. But it's just such a fun, it's just like, you know what they're doing.
Few adults even know what the hell.
There's
going
even
on.
Adults who watch this and won't even pick that up.
Yeah,
it's just like
or
such an obscure...
know what the fuck is going on in that book.
Plus, there's quite a few like horror references, like with names.
Well, yeah, they mentioned like Carpenter Street.
There's like a general store. It's called Karloff's General Store.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Cunningham Street.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's more that I didn't even.
I'm sure there's
catch.
A ton of them. It's like littered throughout the entire movie.
Along with, I'm sure there's other like jokes that I don't even pick up.
There's a lot. Like, I think every time I watch this movie, I pick up something mm-hmm. new. that I didn't see or didn't hear quite right or something like that. It's such a good... I love this movie. So... But
RV scene.
Sorry, back to the RV scene. Yes, we have to get back to the RV scene.
So while they're doing their thing, Jason shows up and he
cuts the power to the RV.
Like, rips it out of the socket.
I love the guy's reaction because he can finally release and he's like, yes.
The song ends and, you know, he's like, yes.
I love that payoff.
And she's just like, shit. So, you know, she tells him, like, okay, you have to go check it out.
Well, it's like, it's not her RV, right? So yeah. She's freaking out because it won't turn on. And she looks outside and someone's cut the power. So she sends him out there.
To see what the hell happened.
To see what is going on. Why is it unplugged?
And so he goes and he finds the cord and it's just completely ripped up. And she's like, okay, if we don't want to look like this cord, let's get out of here.
Yeah, so they turn on the RV and they get out of there. So they're driving and Teenage Frankenstein by Alice Cooper comes on.
And he cranks it up as he's driving like crazy. And
well, he's like jamming out. He's like
hitting the brakes, hitting the gas, and she keeps like falling over.
Also, this is probably one of my favorite effects in the entire franchise that they do with her in the bathroom.
Because, you know, you don't know where Jason is. And then as she's walking past the bathroom, he opens the door and like grabs her and pulls her in. And they do this like shot from like above the bathroom.
Well, it's crazy that they filmed this like in an RV. Like the bathrooms in the RVs are tiny. So they had this like, they had to have like a crane or something.
They probably, if I had to guess, they probably cut like the top.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. I mean, there was obviously tricks they did, but...
But yeah, it's like...
It's kind of funny that they're filming in such a claustrophobic...
While like, he's driving
small space while
they're
he's,
getting,
like... Jamming out.
They're getting, like, you know, thrown around as he's driving around.
And he's then like, what are you doing back there? Oh, you look like you're having a good time in there, because it's like...
Yeah.
The walls are, like, bumping.
Everything's bumping. And then Jason takes her head and just, like... You see it, like, going towards, like, the bathroom wall.
And she screams, and you see the indent of her face, and it becomes more and more prominent as he forces it through...
Through the wall?
Yeah, through the wall, but it doesn't, like, tear through the wall.
Yeah.
So you just get an imprint of her, like
her screaming her face.
Featureless screaming face.
It's great.
I love it. It looks so cool.
And then, you know, he comes out, slowly walks towards... The guy driving, he takes out like a
knife. And of course, as Alice Cooper screams, Teenage Frankenstein, he gets stabbed in the neck.
And then he, you know, flops over and the RV just goes and flips over.
And like skids on the ground. They actually flipped an actual RV.
You see like furniture fall out while they flip it over too.
Well, and like the AC unit like comes off and like all this debris is going everywhere.
And then Jason just pops out and stands on top of it and they like... light it on fire.
They knew what they were doing because he stands on top of it for probably like a good 30 seconds, like just emitted in the moonlight.
In the moonlight and the fire.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's so cool. They knew, I mean, they knew what they were doing with this. It's such a weird thing to say, but it's so fan servicey for like Friday the 13th fans. There's so much to love
There's
about
six
this
movies
movie.
In. They, you know, they had to... They had to give us what we want.
It's like a love letter to people who love this franchise.
Not just that. You could argue it's a love letter to horror in general.
Yeah. Well, that's why I love this movie. Because, again, they don't take this self seriously, but they give it, like, all they got, right? There's so much to love about this movie.
There's a lot of craft.
Yes.
On display.
A lot of good effects. The acting's pretty decent. The camera work's awesome. Like, all around well-made slasher movie. One of the best made slasher movies.
It is one of the best, honestly.
Yeah.
Not even exaggerating.
No. No exaggeration there. I don't care. Come after me. It's one of the best ever made.
This is one of the top tier.
When you're talking about slasher movies, you need to talk about Jason Lives.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I know that's a bold statement. There's a lot of slasher films, but it is. I'm just going to say it here and now.
Well, so six movies. If you're six movies into a franchise and you can pull this off, my respect.
And then, like, how he kills the other two counselors, the one where he like, stands outside and she thinks they're playing a joke on her, so she pours soda on him, and then gets ripped out the window, and then he twists her head off. He
twists her head off, and then later on, the kind of, like, she's kind of, like, the final girl, but this movie's, like...
Technically, she's the final girl, but because there's Tommy...
this movie has both.
It has, like, a final guy and a final girl.
Both.
So, we get two.
But yeah, she gets her head twisted off. The other one, she gets killed, like, kind of off screen, but he basically decorates...
Well, that's when you find the fucking quarters all covered in blood.
There's a part where... Because the final girl, you know, because Tommy gets basically arrested.
Yes.
The sheriff, no one believes him that Jason's alive. Because how could Jason be alive? He's dead.
Well, they're kind of going with what they probably thought at the end of 5, where everyone thinks that Tommy is the killer.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks that Tommy is the psycho because...
Well, once the body count shows up, they think Tommy's the killer. He is... Because
he came from a mental institution. Yeah. He's deranged.
He's obsessed with Jason.
His parents were killed by Jason. So it's like he's got a lot of reasons to be the killer. I mean, he's not, obviously, but, you know.
But everyone thinks he's making everyone... He wants everyone to think Jason's alive and he's the one killing them.
So these two stupid idiot sheriffs... I love the one with the fucking giant, like... fucking laser scope on
it. For no reason, yeah.
For zero reason. There's this giant fucking...
pistol.
Huge, like, laser pointer on his pistol. And he wants to use it so bad. It's like, such a... they're so dumb. I think it's on purpose, obviously. Oh, yeah. But, like, the sheriff and the deputy are so fucking stupid in this movie. And so he's, like, watching them.
Because... The final girl is, she's his, the sheriff's daughter, and she believes Tommy.
Well, she also has a thing for him, though.
But there's a part where she, you know, meets him, and they're gonna drive to the camp, and they're being, like, chased by cops, and she makes Tommy, like, lay his head down in her lap.
I love the part when she's like, well, just... keep an eye out for roadblocks. And he's like, oh, like that one? And like they go to a roadblock. That's when she puts his head in her lap. And they have a quick little chase.
But while they're chasing them, you know, they're like...
like hard rock and roll is playing on the radio.
It's playing Alice Cooper. And, you know, one of the cops is chasing them. And he's talking to the sheriff and he reads off the license plate. And he knows that Tommy's in the car.
I love this scene.
And he's like, yeah, here's a license plate. It looks like Tommy was in the car, but it looks like, you know, his head is in the driver's lap.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, that's my daughter's car.
And I love how the guy has to stifle his laughter.
Like, he's like, so what do you want us to do, sir?
You can tell he's like trying not to chuckle.
Because he knows what's happening.
Oh, what do you want us to do?
He's like, what do you want us to do, sir? He's like, you be careful.
So she gets caught, obviously. They lock him up. And then she's, like, drawing on this, like, pad.
And she you don't see it, but she obviously has, like, a thing there, like, saying, like, telling Tommy, like, this is like, what we're
going to
do.
Create a distraction, basically, so we can get this guy to come over.
Mr. Laser Pointer.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do that, but they break out, and she points his laser thing, like, directly at his nose.
It's like, I can't... She says something about a clown, where yeah. She's like, you know...
She's like, don't be silly, and she basically says, like, I'm not the one who looks like a red-nosed clown.
Yeah.
Because earlier, like, he pointed at Tommy when they were in the graveyard and also said something about, like, where are the laser points? Like,
yeah. Well, and Tommy says the same thing to him. He does the
same thing to him.
And they lock him in the cell and, like, put the keys just out of reach.
Just out of reach.
And they go back to the camp, and that's when, like, all the shit goes down. So, like, all the officers, the reserve officers are there, and they're...
Jason's there.
Jason is there, yes, of course. And he doesn't kill the kids.
No.
It's close. I think the director even said, the director of this one, said that he didn't want the reason this is the reason they didn't have kids die. he said the reason that Jason doesn't kill the kids is because he was a kid when he drowned, and he didn't, like, I guess there was something of, like, he doesn't kill kids because he was a kid when he died.
Possibly.
So, something like that. That's well, what plus, the, that's the director tries to explain it like that, which I guess, who cares?
Well, I mean, my other theory is no kids die in this, because I think it would be kind of a bit of a 180 from the tone.
Yeah, it'd be a little weird to like do like a more comedic tone and then have children die on screen.
Because most of the deaths, like there's definitely gore in this, but they're a bit more like lighthearted. There's nothing like the fucking death in the part four where the guy's like being stabbed to death slowly and like screaming like
yeah
for help. And it's like extended. Like there's nothing like that in this, you know? Or the fucking scene where the dude gets, like, he's in the shower and gets his fucking head caved in, like, slowly.
Yeah.
Like the tone's not as, like, hardcore.
It's a lighter tone, yeah. So obviously
so you still get the gore and it's R-rated, but it's a lot more,
but you can kind of lay back. That doesn't mean we don't get creepy scenes with yes. the kids, because there's a girl that keeps saying she has nightmares, and I love that scene when she's, like, one of the counselors that dies later is like, I say a little prayer and then, you know, and
whatever,
then, and then
whatever
the bad things go away.
Yeah. Whatever
and
you're scared of.
She like, she gets up and like immediately you see Jason right behind the window.
Well, no, he's in the cabin. Remember? Cause he walks through the whole cabin and everyone's asleep except her.
Well, no, so what I'm talking about is when the counselor gets...
Oh, when she's telling her what to do?
It's like yeah. that jump scare where... And it's really well done, because she's talking to the kid, and Jason was not outside the window before, right? And so she leans down, tells the kid to say a prayer, and the monsters will go away.
Camera pans
and then
back up.
She like, gets up, and it follows her up, and Jason's behind the window.
And he follows
and
her.
And follows her, like, outside of the cabin. That was a really cool... I thought that was really creepy, too. Like I said, yes, a lighter tone, but it's still creepy.
Yeah, Jason's still a fucking...
I mean, he's a fucking zombie in
unstoppable
this
psycho yeah. killer.
He has one eye in this movie. So, you know, he looks, like, grotesque, too.
Yeah, he's got,
you don't
like,
see him behind the mask, but he's, like, disgusting.
You will in the next movie.
Because he's a corpse, yeah.
But, yeah, you see, like, you know, his head is, like, all zombified and fucking... gray, like, yeah.
Yeah, no hair anywhere, and mm-hmm. yeah, just fucking... And so, when he does enter the cabin, and she, like...
She sees him, and she's, like, scared, and she starts, like, rapidly saying a prayer.
Well, she... I love, like, I'm sure... I don't know if she meant to, but she starts messing up the prayer because she's so scared.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought that was really effective how they make her, like, kind of mess up the prayer.
Well, it's like, just like...
She's desperately trying to get it out so that the
it's
monster
just like,
will go away.
What's the first thing you would think of as a kid? And you're just, like, trying to remember it as you're, like, fucking, like...
As you're, like, literally being approached by a fucking monster.
But he hears the cop show up and he, like, leaves. So yeah. when she opens her eyes, he's gone.
Like, to me... Yes, they didn't kill the kids, but it kind of implied that he was probably going to at some point.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was a plan to. Like, it's not like
he... If he wasn't stopped, yeah.
It's not like he was, like, a fucking... Like, he has a moral compass. This is fucking Jason.
Possibly.
But he tortures the kids in any respect.
Yeah.
Because he also bursts through the fucking cabin at the end of the movie, too. And just traumatizes all of them. You know, just for a final fucking fuck you. And
then he gets cock blocked again.
Yeah. Then he can't kill the kids because he fucking has to go back outside.
Well, because basically, Tommy's like in the lake and he's got his
he's got his giant fucking rock in his fucking boat
and his chain, his metal chain around it.
I do. So we'll build up to this obviously, but I do love the death of the main sheriff.
Where he gets folded.
He literally gets folded like a fucking chair.
Well, it's great because like he shoots him with a shotgun. He empties every bullet into him.
Well, because, yeah, he comes by. That's why Jason gets distracted from the kids. Because he comes back by. He tells all the kids to get underneath the beds. Because
all the cops show up.
And all
he
the cops
kills
show
all of them.
Yeah, he kills every single one. Pretty boy, he...
He fucking
crushes his head.
He kills one of them with like a throwing knife.
Yeah. The only one that doesn't die is the laser scope guy.
Yeah, he got lucky.
He did.
He just gets locked
they
up.
They saved him. Literally.
Yeah. He's just sitting there and he doesn't know what's happening.
Yeah, so the other one gets like a throwing knife like thrown into his eye.
Right into his forehead.
Yeah, into his forehead, and then the head crusher, and then we have the sheriff left. So the sheriff, like, yeah, blasts him with shotgun. And nothing. Fucking Jason flies around.
He shoots him with a pistol.
I do love the stunt work. I know they used, so, a little trivia here.
Mm.
In some of the initial shots, they did use a different actor for Jason. That's why he looked a little bulkier.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went to
CJ Graham.
CJ Graham is a little... He's still a big dude, but like he's a little like slender
mm-hmm.
than the other guy. And so that's why in the initial like establishing shots in the graveyard, Jason looks a little bulkier, but the studio, I guess, didn't want such a big fucking bulky
such a chonker.
Jason dude. So they went with Graham. That's why he looks different. Just a little trivia there. It's kind of interesting. But anyway. So then in the woods, this guy's getting blasted. Also, CJ Graham is a stunt actor, so he did all his own stunts. There's not like a lot of crazy stunts in this.
Usually,
but
for these movies,
yeah.
If you look at most of them, the Jason actors are usually stuntmen.
Which is, I mean, fair, because
they're just behind a mask.
They're behind a mask, you don't have to look at, like, even if you did, it's like Jason is a fucked up monster, yeah. Like zombie thing. So who the fuck... He has no discernible features behind the mask.
Yeah. You just need someone who, you know, they're going to be able to get shot around and fucking run yeah. around the woods.
And it looks cool. Yeah. It looks fine.
Someone but physical.
It's always a consistent, like, the same body, right? It's yeah. not like the stunt, because there's no stunt doubles. Mm. It's just them.
It's just them, yeah. So,
that's why
they can do whatever you need.
The continuity is there. So, yeah, he gets blasted around, and then finally the guy gets him on the ground because he hits him.
He hits him with a rock. Like,
he like smashes him with nothing. A rock, and he's about to like pile drive this rock into his face again. And Jason reaches up and just folds him like a fucking just
folds him in half.
Just folds him in half backwards. It's incredible, and it looks so good.
And it's just that thing of like. He is unstoppable.
Well, he's unstoppable and has superhuman strength.
You're not stopping him. Zombie or not. Like, fully zombie now.
He's still unstoppable. There's no stopping Jason. Why do you think he's lasted for, like, what is it? Like, fucking, if you don't count the remake.
11 movies.
11 movies?
Yeah.
Yeah. 11 fucking movies? He's unstoppable. He's just a force of evil.
Mm-hmm.
And who cares? It's fun.
It's fun.
That's fun.
That's what we want.
As slasher fans, that's exactly what we want. You come up with a cool slasher and you can kill him, but he'll come back.
Yeah, even in this. Because they, you know, he taunts Jason out to the lake.
And I love how Jason is like, all right, fuck you.
He just walks. He doesn't swim.
He doesn't swim or anything. He just walks out into the fucking lake.
And, you know, he, like, lights, like, a
circle of fire around the boat.
Adds to the whole fucking look of it.
It looks so fucking cool.
Because it's just, like, a circle of fire around the boat to, like, get Jason out of the water.
I do love how, like, he's, like, waiting and he sees, like, bubbling. And then Jason comes out, like, the opposite side of the boat, like, tackles him. And
he's trying to get the chain around Jason's neck.
Well, there's a lot of tension, right? Because he's trying to get the chain around Jason's neck. The rock is bursting through the bottom of the boat.
Well, because when he first gets it, he's like, he has to use all of his strength just to roll it to the boat. So you know that this thing is like...
So the added weight of Jason is also making the boat capsize.
Yeah.
While he's trying to get the chain, desperately trying to get the chain around his neck. And there's a fucking like ring of fire while he's trying not to be killed by Jason. It's absolutely mental.
But, you know, they tussle around all this time. He gets the thing around Jason, but Jason drags him down into the lake.
Right, and he tries to kick off and everything, but Jason finally drowns him.
Yeah.
For now.
And then the girl goes out there to rescue him, and then as she's rescuing him, Jason
pulls her under.
And so you see her, and she grabs hold of the motor.
Dude, this is so it's so fucking good.
Because the whole time you're wondering is, what the fuck? Like, how are they going to happen?
Well, you're just wondering.
You can't drown him.
You're just wondering, like, how the fuck are they going to get out of this?
Because
like,
you can't drown him, I guess.
No, I mean, he's still alive down there.
He's still just there, just chilling.
He's a fucking zombie. He's just going to chill down there.
So, can't drown him. So she takes the boat, the motor, the propeller, and aims it at his head.
Well, and I love how it, like, catches and it like, stutters into his mask and everything. And you see blood and bits of, like, gross corpse come
up. And eventually it, like, snaps his head.
Yeah.
Because you see, like, you literally see bones, like, flowing to the surface.
And blood and everything. And then she drags the guy to the shore, revives him, and, you know, everything's hunky-dory.
And he looks at the lake and just says, it's finally over. He's finally done.
But there's five more movies left in the franchise.
Well, it's okay. Well, because you see him at the lake and he's floating there in the water, and then his eye opens up, and we get the fucking Man Behind the Mask song.
Any horror movie with its own theme song. I say that, but we have had a lot of shitty movies that have their own theme song, so...
Yeah, but there's a certain audacity.
It is kind of wild to have, like, a slasher film have your own fucking... Like, I mean, Dream Warriors with Dawkins.
Yeah, I mean...
Fucking Jason Lives with Man Behind the Mask. It's just, there's something to love about that, when it's, like, a really well-produced...
Yeah, like, we're not talking, like...
Just really good, like, well... Well written for the time, I mean...
Because that's the thing, is like we're not talking like a little bullshit song they had someone's cousin write. It's like, no, they got like popular artists to make a song for this.
Right, and a lot of people know about that song.
And people who haven't even seen the fucking movie...
Know about the song.
Know the song.
Because it's a good song. If you like Alice Cooper, if you like that kind of shit... Man Behind the Mask is a really good song.
It's a great song, and the fact that it's for this movie.
I think he wrote it for this movie.
Yes.
He wrote it and produced it for this movie.
It was for the movie, yeah.
Like, it's not... It's literally about the movie, if you listen to the lyrics.
Because that's why the song's called He's Back.
The Man Behind the Mask.
Because who's back? Oh, I know.
Jason, he's the man behind the hockey mask.
Jason Lives.
Yeah.
He's back.
Just...
They gave the audience what they wanted.
There is so much to love about this movie. I know I keep saying that, but it's true. There's not a scene in this movie that wasn't made for slasher fans. It is so good, so well done.
It's so wholesome.
The characters are so stupid and lovable. Even to like the gravekeeper that doesn't matter, that gets killed by his own bottle. We forgot to talk about that.
Poetic.
Because he's holding a liquor bottle. He's like, you're going to be the death of me one day.
And he throws it.
And he throws it, and Jason catches it.
And you're waiting for the sound of it to hit the ground.
But you already know.
But it doesn't.
So Jason, great. Jason has it, and he just snaps it in half and stabs the guy with it.
It's the death dead. Of him.
And then he goes and kills two, like, rich, preppy people.
Well, because the guy's like... He gives her, like, a ring.
He gives her, like, a diamond. Like it's circled with diamonds.
And she's, like, looking at this is incredible. And he's just, like, sitting there, like, I can't believe you thought I would take you out here just for some fun. Like, you know, just to have sex.
Yeah.
And then she starts, like, kissing him. He's like, you know what? I don't know. I kind of got a headache, you know?
Okay. Then he, like, gives in. And
he's like, okay, fuck it.
Well, because he's the one that sees the grave keeper.
Because you hear a noise.
Yeah. So he sees him get stabbed, and he gets all freaked out, obviously, and then they both die.
They get double stabbed.
Yep, they get, well, because they're getting on his motorcycle, and they get just run through with one machete. There's a lot of, like, there's one double and one triple kill in this movie, and it's great. It's well done. Everything is good.
He's ramped up his body count.
If you have not seen this movie... Or have not seen any of the Friday the 13th movies.
Shocking.
What are you doing? why are you listening to this podcast?
I was going to say, I mean, if you listen to this podcast.
If you're listening to this podcast and you're not a fan of Friday the 13th, I don't know what to tell you. We have so many episodes gushing about slasher movies that it's kind of insane at this point.
One of the premiere.
We have so many slasher movies on this podcast. If you don't like slasher movies, I don't know what you're doing here. I'm sorry.
Because we are clearly...
We love slasher movies, so... and it's like, I mean, there's a reason this is one of the greatest like slasher franchises ever. It is so good. And every single movie has its own thing. They're all, well, I mean, arguably they're all like watchable at the very least, right? They all have their own flair. Yes, there are some that frustrate me more than others. You know, like Jason Takes Manhattan.
We'll get there.
Jason X is a little... cartoony. It goes into the
little.
Yeah. It goes too far into the ridiculous realm.
Honey.
There are some problems with the franchise, obviously, but I mean you have 11 fucking movies. There's bound to be ones you don't like. But there is so much to love about this franchise too. I mean, from one on, it's just
especially
like,
this. It's like a love letter to slashers, to horror.
So part six is definitely in my top three Friday the 13th movies, but it's probably in my top five of slasher movies of all time.
Yeah.
It is that good. It is so good. It's so entertaining. Not a second of the movie, is bad.
Yeah, no.
That's the thing. I can't think of anything that I would like.
Part of me wishes this was longer.
Yeah, same.
Like, I could spend infinitely more time
this movie. And it's so well-paced. There's not a second in the movie where you're bored.
Yeah.
There's no, like, long monologues, long, boring shit. Like, every single scene, even the counselor scenes where there's not Jason in the scene...
Are fun
and kind of funny because they're kind of poking fun at, like, the counselors or the kids or something is going on to keep you entertained. It's not just, you know, boring bullshit.
Yeah.
There's nothing boring about this movie at all. It's so entertaining. It's so well done. Everything is just so well put together in this movie. I know a lot of people have some issues with it, but for me, for my lizard brain, it's damn near perfect.
Well, listen, I mean, you're not alone because usually when people talk about their favorite, this comes up a lot.
Yes, and there are a lot of fans, and I know franchise heads love this movie.
This is one of the ones that generally people will cite as their favorite.
Yes, and I know it does have a lot of haters too, so I just want to address that. Again, these are our opinions.
But we are not in that group.
There is no hate here. There is no hate for this movie at all. There's literally just adoration. I'm sorry.
I'm deeply sorry.
And if you're like,
sorry to all the poo-poo slasher haters for whatever reason,
if you're that one person that likes the remake more than anything like this, don't listen. We don't need that kind of negativity here. Okay.
Yeah. If you're one of those people who just don't get slasher movies, I am so sorry for your loss.
Well. And, you know, keep listening if you want to, obviously, but we are huge fans of slasher movies.
And you're going to have many more.
So we're going to have a lot of slasher movies, so I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry.
Because there are 11 mainline Friday the 13th movies, 12 if you count the remake.
Yeah, and we will have them. We've done 4, 5, and now 6.
So we will have them, and then there's also Nightmare on Elm Street,
There's also Halloween.
We will have them. So you are...
The Halloween franchise has glaring issues, and we will address that.
No, not at all. There's no problem.
It's perfect. It's a perfect franchise. There's nothing wrong with it at all. There's not like 3 good movies, and that's about it.
That's a great batting average, Will.
3 out of what? Like, how many fucking movies are there in the Halloween franchise?
Oh, my God. There's like 12, 13?
Yeah, there's like 12 or 13.
And I'm including like the remakes, the fucking, the new bullshit.
So if you include everything, there's three good movies.
Good job.
Out of 13.
What a success. you know, congrats, guys. I'm proud of you.
Listen, clearly that is not our franchise. Halloween is not. I would argue that my favorite slasher franchise, I'm just going to say it here and now, is probably Friday the 13th. I love Nightmare on Elm Street. I think it's amazing. But I just, there's something about these movies that just gets me.
I don't know. I don't know if I can pick a favorite, because it is either Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street. Just
well,
like,
those are the two, like, those are the two I go back and forth on. Like, those are the only two that I can think of that were, they just consistently have
entertainment.
Entertaining movies that I love. And both of them have multiple movies that I love within that franchise.
Yep.
That are some of my favorite slasher films. Like Dream Warriors, holy shit. Yeah. I fucking love that movie.
Because there's always those people who are like, you know, like, they only like the first one. And it's like, okay, I don't get it. Because...
Well, I mean...
Or they only like one Friday the 13th movie.
Listen, you like what you like. I'm not going to stop you, but I disagree.
There's no way.
Like, there's so much to love about these franchises. And if you haven't checked them out, please do. There's so many different ways to watch them too, and just like go and enjoy them. Just if you're into slasher movies or just getting into slasher movies, try a Friday the 13th movie. Try this one.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Go watch Nightmare on Elm Street. Even watch the first Halloween. There's so much to love about these franchises. There is good shit.
They are successful for a reason.
Well, and they're still popular for a reason. There's still love for these franchises for a reason. 30
plus years on, they're still popular.
Yeah. Even go watch Child's Play. I mean, even the show's pretty good. We're never going to get to the show. I just want to say that I do really enjoy the show as well. Chucky counts. He's a slasher. Yeah. It's a little different, but he's still a slasher.
Yeah.
He's just a little tiny doll slasher.
Possessed by the spirit of a psycho killer.
Yes. And those movies get ridiculous too, so...
We'll get there. Don't you worry.
We will get there.
Don't you worry,
Don't you
kiddos.
Worry. Lots
we
to love.
We will get to Bride of Chucky.
But I just wanted to kind of just give my really just stamp of like adoration for this franchise. It's like what made me, some of the movies that made me fall in love with horror in general, and especially slasher films. Like without this, I don't know if I'd be into this genre at all.
Well, it's just like there's so much of what your average person when they think of slashers. Like, so much of the DNA of that comes from this.
Well, and it's kind of weird, but, like, I get...
Like, some like camps and, you know, and, like, horny young teenagers and, like...
I know it's kind of weird to say, but it's almost like a comfort.
Yeah.
It just makes me feel, like, I don't know. I like that, like, spooky, cozy vibe it gives off.
Yeah.
Because you're in a camp, there's, like... camaraderie of the counselors, and they're around fires, and like you know, camping with friends is fun.
There's like, yeah, I mean,
and it's like kind of fun to be scared a little bit and everything.
And talking about like, you know, ooh, did you hear about the, you know, the legend of
yeah,
Camp
it's
Blood
like it's
and...
it's like basically like friends sitting around a campfire telling ghost stories.
Yeah,
and this is like come to life, and so it kind of gives off that like kind of cozy vibe, and that's why I like it.
Where it's like...
I'm not going to say, like, killing people is cozy, obviously, but, like...
How dare you?
The vibes are cozy. And so, I don't know. There's just, like, a lot to love. I know people hate slasher films, but I love them. And stop listening to the podcast if you hate slasher films.
If you're one of those people.
No, I would never tell you to stop listening to the podcast. Please listen. Please continue listening. Please continue to support. We love you all.
Yeah, I just, you know, I just think you should get the stick out of your butt.
I mean, fair. That's a fair point.
That always greatly abused me.
Don't stop listening, but we will soften and we will help you remove that rod from your ass.
Because if you are one of those people who thinks that the only good slasher movie ever made is the first Halloween,
we're here to help you.
I am here to help you because I want you
we need you to see the light.
I want you to have fun.
Yeah, you should have fun because it's not all just Halloween. Because
that's just...
You should be able to have fun while watching a slasher movie.
Yes.
And Halloween's a great movie, don't get me wrong. It's amazing. It's one of the best.
It started the thing.
It started the whole thing. It's fucking incredible. Yeah. There is no part of me that hates that movie in the slightest. But have some fun.
Yeah. Grow up, okay? Have some fun. Watch some horny people get murdered. Okay? I mean, you'll be fine.
And we would do Shitty Do Pretty, but there's no fucking, like, come on. Like, we do this every fucking time with these movies. It's a 10.
For this
one? It's always going to be a 10. Listen,
yeah.
If I could give it, like, a higher score, I would. Because it's one of my favorites. It's so good. And I think it's one of your favorites, too.
I would recommend this movie to everybody on the planet.
Yes.
I don't care.
If you want a good slasher movie, just go watch Part 6 or anyone up to 10.
Just marathon them. Why not?
Yeah, just marathon the whole series if you haven't seen it.
You'll get all the emotions.
Yep. You'll get everything you need to know.
You'll get...
And you'll understand us better. Because I marathon this series every single year, so...
The first time I watched all these movies, that's how I did it. I marathoned them. So I literally watched them back to back. I did that with this franchise. I did it with Nightmare on Elm Street. And I've done it multiple times now.
Both those franchises I try to get to every single year.
Yeah.
I will rewatch them every single year.
And every time I rewatch them, it is like comfort.
Yes.
It's pure comfort.
So good.
I don't even after watching dozens of people get violently killed on screen... It's something just deeply comforting about these movies.
Go watch these movies. Please try and give them some love. Try and soften your cold, dead heart. Try and get that rod out of your ass if you're one of these people that hate it. We love you. Thank you for listening. I don't want to alienate anyone here, but...
But please
help yourself.
I care about you.
We deeply care about you. That's why we want you to see the light.
I want you to be a good person. For the people in your life, so you can be a better person.
But yes, and then we will be back with another episode probably next week. I mean, I'm not going to guarantee it because sometimes shit comes up.
But
we've been consistent. You guys are probably loving it. We've been very consistent lately.
There is like an extremely high probability that yes, next Sunday
we will be ending 86.
You're ending 86.
That means we'll have
big boy.
We'll have for you. We'll have best of the best, best of the worst, worst of the worst. You know, we'll have all three of those. We'll have the categories. We'll have the fun. We're going to have a good time. We're always a good time. And then we'll
start again.
And then we go back into the shit, and then we'll have a bad time. You'll have a good time. And then that's how it goes.
It's like you're climbing up the ladder, and you get to Nirvana, Eden, whatever, and you're there, and then you tumble on all the way down the ladder, and you got to climb back up.
Well, it's also like we kind of give a leg up on people, right? To help them up because we watch these movies so they don't have to.
Yeah.
And then we recommend the ones that they should watch.
Yes. And then, you know, we start from the bottom. We might have some gems, but, you know, we will finish.
Sometimes they're few and far between, I'll be honest.
We will finish.
At the peak. High. So anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. You are the best. We really appreciate all the engagement, all the subscriptions, all that stuff. We appreciate everything you guys do for us, so we can continue doing this for you. It's a give and take, and we really appreciate all you people, all you beautiful, beautiful listeners. Thank you so much. For they mostly come out at night. This has been Will.
This has been Alex.
And we will talk to you all later.
Bye.
Yeah, these people have some sick sense of humor.
Who would do this one? Who would watch people get murdered on screen?
I don't know.